that everything that has breath. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on, Mo.
I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain.
Yeah.
I'll praise when I'm sure. I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water my enemies drown in. There's no reason, I've got a reason to praise
the Lord, oh my soul.
Come on and praise
the Lord, oh my soul.
God, where there is no way. We thank you that we can trust you even when we can't see it, It's not my business how, when I know who. Come on, y'all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Faithful through the ages.
The children of Israel had the Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea before them. All they could do was stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Ascend Church, did he come through for them? Did our God make a way for them? He'll open a sea if he has to, just so he can keep his promise. I know you'll come through. This mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it. Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. Help, you will make a way.
What you do.
make a way. Yeah, Lord.
Even when you're facing the impossible, the God of the impossible, He will make a way. He will make a way. He will make a way. Oh. 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 Oh.
Up a praise if that's the God you serve. Come on.
I sought the Lord. He heard. He answered. That's why I trust Him.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So I trust in God, who my Savior, who will never fail. He will never fail.
Testify that when I seek the Lord, I know that He hears me, and He's answered me time and time again. He's answered me before I even get the words out of my mouth. It's already done. I have victory in Jesus, and I can shout from the rooftop that my God is faithful. And so I encourage you this morning,
whatever you're going through, if you got to prophesy this over yourself and sing it, come on, and if you know it, you know it. But I want you to sing and worship unto God. All right, church, come on.
I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. Oh, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Oh, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, oh my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
And I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. He heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. Sister Church, come on.
I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him.
Come on, from your heart, shout it out. Come on.
I sought the Lord and he heard. And he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him.
How many of you can say you've trusted in the Lord in your life and you've seen him do miracles for you, you've seen him provide for you, you've seen him move in your life? How many of you can testify? Yes, he will make a way, like we sang, when there seems to be no way. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. Isn't that right? We want to pray for people right now. Whatever it is that you need from the Lord, all you have to do is ask him. The Bible says that we do not have because we do not ask God. And you know, last Sunday, I don't usually do that, but I just felt prompted of the Lord. I went and looked at our Facebook live stream, because we live stream the service on Facebook, and we want to welcome all those who are watching us today on Facebook or YouTube. And I just felt prompted to look at it, and I saw somebody had made a comment on the live stream, and they asked us, her name was Krista, and they asked us to pray for her husband, Gordon, who was in hospital. And so when I got up here for prayer time, I said, let's pray for Gordon. He's in hospital. And we prayed for him. And then after the service, Kathy and Dossie came to me and said, oh, that's our daughter and our son-in-law. And I didn't know that. I didn't connect that. And they had asked for prayer. And so they came and prayed, and I think Anna prayed with them. And I didn't realize that. So we prayed again. Well, anyway, I want to tell you what happened. What an amazing miracle happened. Let me tell you, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. We don't get up here and have prayer time just, you know, just for the sake of it. We pray for people because God moves, God heals, God does miracles, God works in, He makes the way. So tell us what happened.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Well, Kathy told us afterwards, and she said that her son-in-law, they're in Colorado, and he's in his 30s, and he just completely hallucinated, just didn't know where he was, what he did, completely hallucinated. And the daughter-in-law was very distressed by it, and she had, their daughter had taken him to hospital. He'd been admitted. The doctors didn't know what was going on. And he thought he was dead. He thought everybody around him, he couldn't tell the difference between reality and what was not real. And when we prayed for him, something took place. Something took place. You don't even know what the diagnosis is, but God knows. And I think it was Tuesday morning early, Kathy texted me and she said he's been released from the hospital. Just snapped off of him. And he was released from the hospital. Praise God. That's not a one-time thing that happens. God is there to deliver and help us in every situation. Whether it's those life-changing ones or whether it's the small decisions you have to make in the days to come. And so, you know, I want you to know this. The Bible says that these signs will follow those that believe. Those that lay, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So what happens is sometimes people receive an instant healing, an instant answer. Something snaps off of them. They feel immediately changed in their body. But sometimes it's a gradual process. But I'll tell you this much, that if the Bible says that when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, then the moment hands are laid on you, the recovery process begins. And as long as you keep the switch of faith turned on, that process continues to work in your body. Amen. You could choose to switch it off and go, I don't feel anything, I don't see anything, maybe nothing happened. But if then you don't receive what it is God's promised. But when you keep that switch of faith on, the power of God begins to flow through your body. Amen.
So if you would like prayer this morning, let me tell you, the Lord is our healer. He's our provider. He's our deliverer. He's our protector. Whatever you need, He's called the great I am. So we're going to have our prayer partners up here. They want to pray with you. And I want to pray for anyone who's watching online, whatever it is that you're facing. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need God to help you financially. Maybe you have a situation in your family you need to see God to restore things. We're going to pray right now. Whatever it is you need, you can receive. All you have to do is believe. You just have to believe and receive what God has for you. Amen. So pray with us. Father, I pray right now for anyone who's watching, whatever it is they may be facing. Maybe they need healing in their body, they have a financial need, maybe they're in some kind of a addiction, bondage. Father, I pray right now by your mighty power that you would heal those who are sick in their body. Let your healing power flow through their body. I pray that you would set people free that are struggling with addiction. I pray, Father, that you would provide every single need in their life. Thank you that you're a miracle-working God. Lord, I release your miracle-working power right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and the glory, all the honor, Father. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you there's nothing too hard for you. We thank you that all things are possible for you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, we declare it's done right now. And we thank you. We receive it by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. And on that note, we are going to sing our final song. If you need prayer, come forward. We're going to sing, "What a Beautiful Name." There is no name like the name of Jesus. The Bible says that everything in heaven and on earth and everything under the earth must bow their knee and confess that He is Lord. How many of you know that we are here today to lift up the name of Jesus? We're here to praise Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Are we not? So I want to encourage you to sing with us this beautiful song. Let's lift up His name. Let's tell Him how much we love Him. Let's magnify the Lord today and give praise to the name of Jesus.
Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above. how powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the
That's it. You know, a gathering of believers is a celebration of what he has done. And when we sing of the name of Jesus, you got to know there's all power in that name. Every knee bows to the name of Jesus. Every tongue confesses that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Father, we glorify the name of Jesus in this place. Lord, you rule and you reign over all. We magnify you. All honor to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every circumstance that you face, every enemy, every obstacle has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. That makes me glad. That's a joy that rises in my heart. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we're struggling and we're stressing and we're fearful and we're anxious, we have no strength. But when we begin to lean in to the joy of the Lord and we begin to look at what he's done and who he is, lift your eyes, says the Lord. Lift your eyes beyond what you can see. Lift your eyes beyond what's going on around you, because I have already defeated the enemy. I have already won the victory, says the Lord. I have won your victory, says the Lord. I have won on your behalf, says the Lord. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. That should cause a joy to rise up in your heart. And you say, you know what? I have not a care in this world. I have not a care in this world, for he fights on my behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I receive that, don't you? Praise God. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church this morning. Won't you turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm glad you're here. Wonderful to see you today, family. You may be seated. Welcome, as my husband said, welcome to those that are watching online. So glad that you've joined us today. And even for those that watch the reruns of this, I don't believe that you tuned in by chance. So I ask you to just lean in and receive everything that the Lord has for you today. If you're watching on Facebook Live, comment, let us know where you're watching from. If you have prayer requests, let us know. We're so glad to hear from you. We also stream on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, which is a great blessing to many people. So we do on our app as well, our mobile app. If you don't have it, then get it, because we've got all kinds of resources there, Bible programs, Bible studies, confessions, past messages. So you can just download the Ascend Church Jupiter app as it be a blessing to you. But we're so glad that you're here this morning. Are you glad to be here? I love this beautiful place in which we live. It's like paradise out there, isn't it? A little hot, but paradise. I'm okay with a little hot, as long as we've got AC. Amen. But I want to welcome each and every one of you, especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting us for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And I hope you'll find that we have a very friendly congregation that would just welcome you today. So if you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We just want to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. Would you mind just waving your hand if you're visiting for the first time today? God bless you. Welcome. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. So glad to have you here. And so glad you came. You know, some people come to church for very different reasons. Sometimes they come because they're invited. Sometimes they come because they saw a sign, heard a message, somebody invited them. But I believe that the Lord directs our footsteps. So I pray that you get whatever it is you need to hear today from the Lord for your life, not just for your neighbor or one of our regular church members, that this is just for you today. Amen. And part of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. So we asked if you just fill that card out, put your name and your details, and our pastor would just love to get in touch with you and see if he can pray with you in any way. So drop that card in the offering bucket. We'd appreciate it. Praise the Lord. I want to remind you of our four main purposes for our church. The four main purposes are, first of all, that you would know God. Second of all, that you would find freedom. Thirdly, that you would discover your purpose. And lastly, that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. And that's always the basis of everything that we minister. And it's a very special Sunday for us. Pastor?
Praise God. Yes, good morning. Good to see you today. We are so happy to have our grandchildren, our children together today. We have four children and eight grandchildren. And so today we have Robin, our oldest daughter, visiting from California. My little granddaughter shouting Pops. That's what they call me, Pops. And so Robin's here with her four children, Emma. Stand up for us. There's Emma and Jude. There's Jude and Jackson and Jet. Those are the four from California. We're glad you're here. And then, of course, we have my daughter-in-law, Francesca, who's married to our son, Luke. And they came up and spent a few days with us, and she decided to stay over. We're so glad you did. And Francesca has Roman. Where's Roman? He's over here. Roman. And then we have Olivia and Penelope. And so we're glad to have them all together. We haven't had them together for a while. Unfortunately, my son couldn't be here because he leads worship at VU Church. And then, of course, we have Nadine, who's... We're so glad to have her every week with Brady, my other grandson, Brady. Stand up for us, Brady. it's great to have them all together for a couple of weeks, and we're so glad Robin was able to come out and visit us, and she's going to be preaching today. She's a great speaker, great preacher. You'll hear from her in a moment, but wonderful to have you all here, and I'm going to let you go. Are they staying or are they going? I'm going to let you go. He said, finally he can leave. Praise the Lord. The Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. People have asked me sometimes, what is the tattoo that I have on my arm? The tattoo I have on my arm is Psalm 127 verse 4. It says that children born to a young man are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And I have four arrows for my four children, and I have their four names. And then on this side, I have my wife's name. So it's funny because when Robin was moving to California, she felt the Lord leading her to do that, her and her husband, Brian. And so we had a friend of ours who said they had a dream or a vision. Was it a dream or a vision? And they saw in this dream, they saw us shooting an arrow, like a flaming arrow from Florida, and it hit into California, a bullseye. So I thought that was very interesting, because that's this tattoo that I have about your children being like arrows in the hands of a warrior. And so we have two children in California. We have Robin and our youngest daughter, Courtney, or out in California, and Sam and Courtney pastor Hillsong in California. They have two campuses, one in Orange County and one in LA. And Robin, and in San Francisco, they have one in San Francisco. And then Robin is on staff. She's a community pastor, and she preaches often at the church. And so when I knew she was going to be here, I thought, well, I'm going to let her preach today. So you're going to be blessed. But right now, we're going to give to the Lord. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving today. The last few weeks, last Sunday I concluded a series. My son calls it a collection of talks. I call it a series, but I finished a series last week called "The Covenant of Prosperity." And in Isaiah 54 in verse 10, I don't know if you have that scripture on the screen. There you go. Isaiah 54 verse 10. This is what this series was based upon, the scripture. It says, "The mountains may be taken away and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be taken from you. And my agreement of peace," well, that's not the right. It's just that "my covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord who has mercy on you." I spoke about the covenant of prosperity, because the covenant, you know, prosperity is included in blessing. And we have a covenant with God. And our covenant is a covenant of blessing. The reason God made a covenant with us is because He wants to bless us. Now, the Bible is a revelation of two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Covenant God made with Abraham, and it was sealed with the blood of an animal. The reason God made a covenant with Abraham is because He wanted to send Jesus to the earth to save us, to redeem us, to take our sin. And so that's why He made a covenant with Abraham, because that enabled Him through the descendants of Abraham to bring Jesus. When Jesus came to the earth, He said, "A new covenant I'm making with you, and it's sealed with my blood." He shed His blood. So when you become when you receive Jesus into your life, When you receive Him to be the Lord of your life, you actually enter into a covenant with God. And a covenant is when two people join their lives together, and everything that they are and everything that they own becomes joint. We share it. If you and I had a covenant of blood, then everything that I own would be yours. Everything you own would be mine. All my debts would be yours. Your debts would be mine. If somebody came to fight you, I would have to protect you, because that's what a covenant is. It's two lives that are one. And we have a covenant like that with God, where God is our covenant partner, where He wants to fight for you. He wants to help you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to bless you. It's all part of that covenant that we have with God. It's a covenant of blessing. It's a covenant of prosperity. And if you weren't here for all those teachings, there's five parts on the covenant of prosperity. I would really encourage you to go watch them on our YouTube channel, on our mobile app. Go watch them. Even if you were here, go watch them again, because the Lord really guided me in that series. Now, one of the scriptures that we used in that series was Deuteronomy 29 verse 9, and it says this: "Therefore, obey the terms of this covenant so that you will prosper in everything you do. When we entered into a covenant with God, there's certain terms that we have to obey. You see, the Bible says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. You will eat the best of the land. And so we have to obey the terms of the covenant. God is always faithful to keep his side of the covenant. God will never, the Bible says, he watches over his word to perform it. God will always keep his covenant, but sometimes we don't always fulfill the terms of the covenant, and that's often we miss out on the blessings that God has for us. But when we obey the terms of the covenant, and the terms of the covenant really are to be obedient to God, to do whatever he tells you to do. There's scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, like in Deuteronomy, where it says that if you obey the voice of the Lord, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Blessings actually come chasing after you. When you put God first and you obey him and do what he says, blessings come chasing after you. And one of the terms of the covenant that we have to obey is to tithe. The Bible says that the first tenth of everything we receive belongs to God. And when we acknowledge that and say, Lord, thank you for the covenant I have, thank you for your goodness in my life, thank you, every good thing in my life comes from you. And Lord, as I'm tithing now, the Bible says that the purpose of tithing, it says this in, I think it's Deuteronomy 14:23, it says the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. Tithing really activates the covenant, because it shows God that he is first, that your trust is in him, that you're devoted to him, that you're obedient to him. And when you honor the Lord with the tithe, God says he opens up the windows of heaven and he pours blessings upon you. Can I tell you that you can never outgive God? You can never outgive God. God is the ultimate giver. He is the ultimate generous one. God loved us so much that he gave his only son. There is nothing that is greater than God giving Jesus his son so that we could be saved. God is so generous. So as at this time, what we do in our giving is we say, Lord, I'm so thankful for your blessing in my life, that I have a covenant with you, that you're my helper, you're my partner, you're my God, you're my protector, you're my provider. I'm honoring you now, Lord. You're first in my life. My trust is in you. And as you do that, as you tithe, you bring the first tenth, the first dollar of every $10 that you blessed with, then God keeps the windows of heaven open and his favor and his grace and his provision keeps flowing in your life. No matter, like I said last time, no matter what's going on in the world, there can be a famine in the world. And thank God I've never been in a famine, and I don't think any of you have probably ever been in one too. But a famine where there's no food. And there's many times in the Bible where there was a famine, and yet God blessed and prospered his people in the midst of that famine. Like Isaac, he sowed in a time of famine, and he reaped a hundredfold in the same year, and he began to prosper. He became so prosperous that the Philistines envied him. Let me tell you, no matter what's going on in the economy, if you put your trust in God, and if you'll obey him, and if you'll follow him, he will provide for you. He will prosper you. The Bible says he wants to bring the wealth of the sinner into the hands of the righteous. God wants to bless us so that we can fulfill his purpose in the earth, which is what? Is funding the preaching of the gospel and the kingdom of God. We've got to prosper so that the kingdom of God can advance. And the biggest lie that the devil ever sold to the church was that God, somehow poverty is a godly. That's not what the scriptures teach at all. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Amen. Are you ready to give today? I'm so thankful for all of our givers, all of our tithers, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here week after week proclaiming the Word of God. Think about what happened last week with a man in Colorado that we prayed for, because we were able, because of the givers in this church, we're able to live stream the service. We're able to buy these cameras and live stream the service so someone in hospital in Colorado watches it and God does a miracle in his life. Thank God for the givers and tithers in this church. Can you say amen? So I want to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are our God. We have a covenant with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you, that you're our provider, that you are our protector. Thank you that you're always with us. Father, today we honor you as we tithe, as we give. We acknowledge, Lord, that you are first in our life, that we look and trust in you. We don't trust in our resources, our money, our job. Our trust is in you, Lord. We know that no matter what's going on in this world, you are faithful, your word is true, and you take care of us. And you said we never have to worry. We never have to worry. If we will just seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be given to us. Thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven that are open above every tither and every giver. Thank you for pouring out blessing upon them. Thank you for financial breakthroughs, for financial miracles. Thank you, Father, for opening doors supernaturally, bringing divine connections, giving godly wisdom, inspired ideas and inventions. Thank you, Father, for your blessing upon your people in the name of Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen. Well, ushers, thank you. I believe that everybody is ready. As you know, if you're in this church, there's many different ways that are available, different platforms for you to give. There's an envelope in the seat back in front of you. If you're in the service, you can use that envelope to give by cash or check or card. You can give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give on PayPal, Cash App, Zelle. Zelle's pretty popular, people giving on Zelle. And how do you do that? The same email. You use ascendchurch.us@gmail to give on Zelle. And so those are all the different ways. Praise the Lord. Well, it is our honor and privilege and excited to have our daughter Robbins here with us today. She's going to be speaking this morning. And as I already told you, she's a pastor at Hillsong in California and preaches there quite often. I think you preached there last Sunday, right? And so I know she's going to be a great blessing to you today. We're so proud of her and everything God's doing in our life. I'm so thankful. To me, the greatest blessings in my life is my children. I'm so glad all my children serve the Lord. The Bible says that if you train up your child in the way they should go, that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. Jill and I got married when we were 18 years old. We had Robin when we were 19. So I'm 59, she just turned 40. I can't believe I have a 40-year-old daughter. But how many of you know you get married at 18? What do you know? You have a child at 19, what do you know? The one thing I knew was to put God first. And we just raised them up according to the Bible. We just did what the Bible said. We took them to church every Sunday. We prayed with them. We read the Bible to them. We got them involved in the things of God. I had all of them said, you're all going to serve in church. They'd be in children's ministry. And my son served in the sound media department when he was 12 years old. And we just raised them up in church. I encourage you, man, to raise your kids in church, to train them up, to bring them Sunday after Sunday. Because if church isn't important to you, guess what? It won't be important to your children either. But if it's a priority for you, I mean, our kids were in church from the time they were 2 weeks old, and they'd have to be like in intensive care to miss church. They didn't wake up on Sunday and say, oh, I've got a sore throat. Oh, you stay home. You'd have to be in the intensive care unit to miss church in our house. Am I right? Came after prom. Oh, prom night. That Sunday, you're going to be in church after prom night. Oh, you tough, Pastor Steve. All my kids are serving the Lord. We even spanked them. I know there's something they don't do today, but the Bible says if you love your child, spank him. So I said, I love you, man. So I spanked him. I'm glad those days are over, though. My spanking days are over. Amen. Now I'm the good guy with my grandchildren. Whenever they want something, they come to me. They want a treat, come to me. Amen. Anyway, we're so glad. Won't you give a big welcome to our daughter, Robin Barry, as she comes to minister. Robin Koontz. Robin Koontz.
Hello. How are you doing this morning? Great. I have to laugh because my kids, when the week before, thank you, the week before we came here, they were acting out, and I was like, just watch. We're going to go to Florida, and if you act like this in front of pops, I'm going to tell them to spank you. And, like, they just laugh. Like, they don't even believe me because they're like, pops, get out of here. He would never. I'm like, you don't know the pops I knew. Now he's a grandpa, and he's so nice. Like, stop giving them treats for the love of God. They have no idea. Hey, it's such a privilege to be here, to be in the room. We haven't been in Florida in 2 summers. We didn't come last summer, which we deeply regretted. And so it's so good to be here. And I don't get to preach just because this is my dad, my mom. My dad takes his pulpit very seriously. So it's a privilege that he said, would you like to preach this Sunday? And I just want to commend you because I think there are a lot of things that can fill our time. There are a lot of things you could have been doing this morning. You could be cruising the intercoastal on a boat right now. How good does that sound? Maybe later. You could be catching up on chores and laundry, getting ready for your work week that's ahead of you. You could be sleeping in. You could be out at brunch. There are so many things that you could be doing, but you choose to be in the house of God. And I commend you for that. And can I tell you, it is not in vain. It is not wasted time. There's so many things we could do that are empty. They're empty. But you come here and you go, I'm going to, you know, you get to serve God during the week by yourself, and you can pray and you can spend time with him and you can read the Bible and all kinds of things, and all those things are amazing and important. But there's something about gathering together in the house of the Lord, together with other believers who share your faith, doing life together, encouraging one another, gathering corporately to hear the word of God. And the Bible says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there with them. And I don't know about you, but I felt from the moment we went into worship the presence of God in this place. And so it's a privilege to preach the word of God, and I know that no matter how good or bad my delivery is, his word is good, and that it will not return void. So let's go into it. I'm going to be reading from, kind of preaching from Acts chapter 4. And if you have your Bible or Bible app, you can turn to that. Otherwise, I believe it's going to be on the screen behind me. It's Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 22. It says this. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for today. I thank you that we can gather together as a community of believers and read from your word and study from your word and be encouraged from your word. And I pray, Lord, that As I preach today, may I only say what you would have me say. And you know everyone in this room, and you know everybody who might be listening to this message, maybe today or in days to come. You know what they're facing. You know their questions. You know what they need. And I pray, Lord, that you meet them right where they are. I thank you, Lord, that your word goes out and the seeds are planted in our hearts and lives that will bear fruit in the days and the years to come. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you heard of the story of Joan of Arc? Okay, Joan of Arc was a young farm girl in France in the 1400s. And at the age of 12, she started having heavenly visitations from angels in essentially her backyard in like the farm. And they gave her an assignment that she was going to help save France. And so at the age of 16, she set out to fulfill this assignment. And she went to the governor and she told him the story. And he said, "You are crazy, little 16-year-old farm girl. Go on home." And she kept at it, and she kept at it. And through a series of events, he was finally convinced and he let her go. And so for her safety and protection, she dressed like a boy. She cut her hair. They gave her armor, they gave her a sword, they gave her a magnificent horse, and they gave her an army, and she set out into battle. And she led this army, and they won battle after battle after battle. And she gave four prophecies during that time, and all four prophecies came to pass. And soon after that, she was captured. And she was put on trial by the English for heresy. And court transcripts somehow survived. And they show that this, I think she was 18 or 19 at that time. This 18 or 19-year-old farm girl held up incredibly in court against these highly educated, hostile Englishmen. But at 19 years old, she was burned at the stake for heresy. Joan of Arc was bold. Have you heard of Susanna Wesley? Okay, Susanna Wesley, I didn't know of her. I have a book I'm going to tell you. I think it's called Seven Women Who Changed the World or something like that. And so these are two of the women that I read in this book. Susanna Wesley lived in the 1600s. And she was the youngest of 25 children. And in a time when girls were not educated, her family gave her an education. So she grew up. She herself had 19 children. Can you imagine? This is so many children. 10 of those children survived. And Susanna Wesley dedicated her life to homeschooling them with a focus on a foundation of faith. And she gave her life to this. And when she couldn't find adequate textbooks, she wrote her own. For 25 years of her life, she homeschooled these children. And she stayed faithful in this through many challenges, through from grief to a very difficult marriage, to poverty, to heartbreak in endless forms, to her house burning down, not once, but twice. This woman had no idea the impact that her life of boldness had on the world. Despite tremendous trials, each one of her children followed God all of their life. And her son, more than 375 years after her death, we're still singing songs that her son Charles wrote. One of them is "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." You know that song? And her other son, John, founded the Methodist movement, which led to the world-changing revival and to more social reforms than can be counted, some of them including the abolition of the slave trade and slavery, the end of child labor in England, laws against cruelty to animals, and the establishment of countless private societies and organizations dedicated to caring for the poor and the suffering. This denomination, the Methodist denomination, claims 80 million followers today, with many hospitals and orphanages and colleges. The world in which we live owes much to the life of Susanna Wesley. She was bold. Both of these women were bold, and their assignments could not have been more different, right? But both of them required the same boldness. The same boldness. Does being a Christian sometimes feel hard to you? No? Just me? You know, you can come in here on a Sunday and you're with other believers and it can feel good and you go, oh, I'm not on my own. But out there, in your everyday life, your Monday through Saturday life, it can feel very different. Like out there, everyone else, it feels like everyone else is on the same page except for you. Like everyone else has a similar way of thinking, a similar worldview except for you. Like everyone else sees things the same except for you. And you can find yourself going quiet about your faith. The very thing you were building your life on, because you might come across as harsh or unaccepting or judgmental or maybe just plain different. Oh, it's not just me. Okay, good. I knew it. Saying I'm a Christian can be a scary thing. Because like you don't know what people are going to think of that or what they're going to think of you. You don't know what their experience of Christianity or Christians has been. It's a scary thing to say that. Being a Christian can feel lonely. Like maybe you're dating and you've made a decision that in dating you're going to save intimacy to marriage. But like no one else around you is doing that. Not a single person in your friend group. And they look at you like, what are you doing? Why are you living with such boundaries? Why are you limiting yourself like that? That can feel lonely. You know, we hear the scripture, I think it's Matthew 5:15 that says, our life as a Christian is like a city on a hill. And like that sounds romantic. My life's like a city on a hill. But think about it. A city on a hill. It's up there all by itself. No one, darkness all around it, right? And don't get me wrong. Being a city on a hill is so good in so many ways and so rewarding. And with it comes an intimacy with God, an eternal perspective and purpose and vision and a heavenly blessing. But with it also comes challenge and isolation and a life that looks different to most people around you. And you begin to understand why this is called the narrow path. It's not easy, and it's absolutely counterculture. But I believe in the midst of this, we can live with boldness. I actually believe that boldness is a necessity to living out our faith on the earth. The world is boldly screaming messages at you. Unashamedly and unapologetically telling you what to think, how to live, how to feel, what truth is. And those voices are only going to get louder. And they're only going to get more opinionated. And they're only going to get bolder. And if we do not have an inner boldness, our faith will not stand. We are called to live a life of boldness. And today I want to talk about, guess it? Living with boldness. Living with boldness. Okay, what does that word mean to you when you think of the word boldness? Like maybe you think of an extrovert, right? Someone who like is comfortable with public speaking. They know what they think and they're not afraid to say it to you. They're confident. And while these may be accurate attributes of boldness, the boldness that we're talking about today is so much more than that. Maybe you're an introvert and you go, being bold is just not part of my personality type. The boldness we're talking about today is not a personality type. The boldness that we're talking about today is an assurance. It carries with it a deep conviction. It is a confidence, but not in yourself, not in your skill set, not in your abilities, not in your ability to, you know, what you can handle. It's not that kind of confidence. It's an inner confidence. It's a certainty. It's a certainty of who God is. It's a certainty of who you are in Him. And it's a certainty of what you are here to do. I don't know if that's going on the screen, but that is what we're talking about today. A certainty of who God is, a certainty of who you are in Him, and a certainty of what you are here to do. And this is what we're going to talk about today. So let's come back to the passage in Acts chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 29 and read that again. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. These disciples lived with this kind of boldness, a certainty of who God is, a certainty of who they were in Him, and a certainty of what they were here to do. So let's look at each one of these certainties and see how you and I can live boldly in our life. Sound good? Okay, the first one is a certainty of who God is. These disciples had been with Jesus. And before He left, He gave them the Great Commission to go out into all the world and make disciples, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Then as they waited in the upper room, the Holy Spirit came on them. And then they went out. That was the day of Pentecost, right? And then they went out and they began preaching the word. And a little while later, Peter and John healed a lame man at the Gate Beautiful. If you grew up in kids' church like me, that song comes to your head. Does anybody know? I'm not going to sing it. But if you grew up in church, you know that song. He came walking and leaping and praising God, right? So they heal this man. And they end up in front of the rulers and the elders being questioned and having to answer for what they did and why they did it and how they do it and why they're doing it. They heal this man. He's been lame for 40 years. And they're in front of these rulers and elders being questioned. So they return to the believers, they share with them what happened, and they all pray. And when they pray, they don't pray for safety. And they don't pray to be rescued. And they don't pray for God to shut the mouths of the persecutors. They pray for boldness. They pray for boldness. They say, God, do you see this? Do you see what's happening? Do you see us? Pay attention to what's happening, God, and give us boldness. Boldness to keep going. Boldness to keep doing what you asked us to do. Boldness to keep preaching the gospel. Boldness to keep healing people in your name. Boldness. These men knew that God was their source. When they needed help, when they needed direction, when they needed strength, when they needed boldness, they turned to God. They looked to Him. They relied on Him. They prayed to Him. And He alone gave them the boldness that they needed. Joshua chapter 1 says, come on, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? How? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You can be strong and courageous because, not because of you, Not because you can handle it. Not because you've been here before and you know the ropes. You can be strong and courageous because of God. Because He is with you. Because He is your source. What are you facing? What are you up against? What is keeping you up at night? What is rolling through your head all day as you drive around? Rolling through your head at night as you try to go to sleep? What are you trying to fix or solve or make happen or work toward? You are facing things that feel too big. And can I also tell you, God has given you an assignment that feels too stretching, that you cannot do without Him. He is with you in your family, in your work, in your marriage, in your plans, in your hopes, in your purpose. He is with you in your now, and He is with you where you're going next. Trying to figure out life on your own is exhausting. And you were never supposed to. You have been given a helper, an ever-present help in time of need. And if you can grasp a hold of this, it will genuinely change your life. It will bring a freedom and an ease and a lightness in the hardest and the darkest and the most challenging of situations, because you have a hope. You have a hope. 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, since we have such a hope, we are bold." Since we have. Boldness comes from a hope found in God. May you rise up with hope today. May you be encouraged as you're reminded that you are not your source, that you have a hope. A hope that goes beyond the solution that you can see. A hope that goes beyond what you can physically do by yourself. A hope that is beyond it. You can live with a certainty of who God is. He is your source. Say, He is my source. Okay, number two. You are called to live with a certainty of who you are in Him. People are going to try to tell you who you are. And they're going to tell you who you are based on things you've done. And they're going to tell you who you are based on how you've made them feel. Often we're defined by the things we've done. We're defined by our past. We're defined by our mistakes. And we are mislabeled. Because you are more than what you've done. You're more than your best day or your worst one. You're more than your success in business or your lack of it. You are more than that. And when you understand who you are, who you really are, who God says you are, it will change your life. For these disciples, being with God changed them. Right before this passage of scripture, when they Peter and John healed the lame man, and they're before the rulers and elders, and they're defending themselves, and they're being questioned, the elders and the rulers stop, and they say, "Hey, these are unschooled, ordinary men." And they took note that they had been with Jesus. It says they took note that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus changes you. When you pay attention to what He says about you, it changes your life, it changes your thoughts, it changes your trajectory. Maybe you're sitting in here and you go, "I understand what you're saying, Robin. I don't feel good enough. I want to be bold for God. Like, I get it. I love that. But before that, I really have to figure out my marriage. Before that, I really have to figure out this thing that I'm wrestling with. Before that, I really have to just get better, get stronger in my faith. I need to know more scripture." And you know what? While there is a part that we play, and we read God's word, and we have to make a decision to follow it, to not live like everyone else. We would make a decision to live according to His word, to live in obedience to His word while we are on a journey towards sanctification, on a journey toward holiness. Can I tell you, from my experience 40 years in, I don't think I'll ever feel good enough. And the enemy would like nothing more than to silence you in your now by making you feel like you're not good enough. You can be bold in your faith. You can be bold, not because of you. I am an imperfect, sinful human. I can be bold because of the God who is in me, because of the grace of that, His grace that is working in me and through me. You can be bold right where you are, in the season you're in the condition that you're in. I remember at 22, I got married, moved to LA right away, and LA, like, anything is possible, anything is accessible, and we really had to decide when we got there, hey, I got no one over here holding me accountable. I can live however I want. I can live for God or not. I can go to church or not. And I remember having a moment with God and saying, you know what, God, the things in myself, I know they're not good enough. And I know I have to work on them. And the things that I wrestle with, I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be. But all I know is this. Jesus, I want you. I want you. And can I tell you, I remember looking back 6 months later and going, I've gone so far. I felt like I had a complete transformation of my mind, of my heart, of my thoughts, of my desires. And it wasn't by anything I did. Yes, I was in church. Yes, I was in community. Yes, I was seeking God. But it was a genuine moment with God saying, God, Jesus, I want you. And when you're with Jesus, and when you invite Him into your days, and you invite Him into your thoughts, and you invite Him into your life, He will do an inner transformation in you that you have no part of. You don't have to do it. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to make yourself better. That's His work. You just invite Him into your life. Okay, so you're called to live with a certainty of who God is. You're called to live with a certainty of who you are in Him. And you were called to live with a certainty of what you are here to do. And whoever's on keys can come and join me, because I'll wrap up in a few minutes. A certainty of what you're here to do. This is your assignment. This is what you are here to do. What are you called to? What is the thing God has for you? Maybe some of it, you in here, you have an idea of that. Maybe others, you're like, I would love to know. I'd love to know what I'm called to, what my purpose is, what my assignment is. Here are three things I've learned about assignment, okay? The first one is this. It probably isn't just one thing. Sometimes we're like, what is my purpose in life? And it like has to be one thing. It's not one thing. Because the thing is, in our entire lifetime, there are going to be many seasons. And your assignment is going to change and shift with the seasons. And often we can find ourselves impatient. Like in every way, in one season, but we're just waiting for the next one. But every season matters. The season that you're in today matters. Whether you love being here or not, it matters. And with every season comes an assignment. What is your assignment in the season you're in right now? The hope is for a long life on earth. And the awesome and exciting thing about that is with a long life on earth comes many seasons. Many different seasons of life, many different assignments. There's so much in store. There's so much for you to do, both now and ahead. Maybe you felt something like, but God has this thing for me, and you're frustrated because you just haven't seen it come. Maybe that's for 20 years from now. You don't know. I remember sitting in church, I must have been less than 10 years old. And I can remember exactly where I was sitting in church, and someone was preaching, probably my dad, and I saw like a movie screen come across the screen. I mean, come across like a movie screen came up in front of me, and I saw myself standing and preaching on the stage. And it was 25 years before I preached. And there were many, many years I didn't even think about that. It didn't really matter. I knew that thing. I never forgot it. But I didn't think about it that much because I was focused on the season I was in, on the assignment that was in front of me, on the job that I was working at the time. And you just keep taking a step, a step, a step, and you're working in the trajectory toward what God put in your heart. And last thought, maybe the season isn't your favorite. It's okay, because another one is coming. Another one is coming. Okay, number two, the second thing I've learned about assignment is it definitely, say definitely, begins with where you are. I'm gonna say this till my dying day because I believe it with everything in me. You may not know where you're going, but you know where you are right now. And right now is all that matters. That's all. You can't catapult into tomorrow. You can't catapult into your future. Your tomorrow and your future begins with your now. What are you doing with your now? Are you paying attention to it? Are you being intentional with it? Are you closing your eyes, just hoping and waiting for the next thing to come? Your now matters. Perhaps your right now is hard and you don't want to be here. Come on, just like those disciples. Rather than asking God to change your season, which he absolutely can, perhaps your prayer can be for the boldness to walk through it. Come on, the boldness to walk through it. Can I encourage you as you go into the week ahead, just two practical next steps of the two things I've said. You know, with God as your source, invite him in. Invite him in to your days, into your thoughts, into your plans, into your hopes, into your dreams, into your worries, into your challenges. Stop. When you're driving and you realize, oh, yeah, that thing has been playing and playing and playing and playing in my head, stop and say, God, I invite you into this. Do what only you can do in this. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Invite him into your life. Invite him into the things that you're facing. He wants to help you. And then when it comes to what I was just talking about the assignment, maybe take some time this week. Just write down some of the things that your current season has. What does your current season look like? The work, your kids, your family, your relationships, your friendships, what does it look like? And ask God to reveal to you your assignment in the now. Maybe we can just go through our days and our weeks and our years with zero intention. Just going, I'm just trying to get through it. Some days, I have four young kids. Some days I'm just trying to get through the day, I'll be honest. Till bedtime. But I don't want to live like that. There are moments like that. But to live with intentionality, God, I want my life, I want my today to matter. Ask him questions. Can I tell you, when you ask God questions, he will reveal the answer to you. Ask him. He wants to speak to you. He's a communicative God. He wants to speak to you. Ask him. He will tell you, maybe not in the moment, but he will reveal it to you. And the third thing about assignment is no matter the assignment, we are all here to carry the Spirit of God to the world around us. We're all here to carry the Spirit of God to the world around us. When Jesus left the earth, he gave the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that Great Commission is for you and for me. And you know, there are many ways to preach. And maybe we think of this, standing up with a mic and preaching. That is just one tiny aspect. Do you know the greatest way that I preach and the greatest way that you preach is with our everyday life. How you live your life. I love Romans 12 verse 1 in the Message translation. It says, take your everyday life, your ordinary walking, eating, walking around life, and bring it as an offering to God. That's where we preach. God wants to use you. He wants to use you to impact the world around you. You carry the Spirit of God wherever you go. And there may be people in your life who would never step foot in this building, but that's okay because they have you. And you go out with the Spirit of God in you. Who can bring, what does the Spirit of God do? He brings freedom. He brings freedom. And just being in your presence, people are in the presence of the Spirit of God. Do you realize that? I heard a story last week of a family in our church, and they have neighbors who actually are atheist. Like, they even have a thing on their door that says, if you're considering knocking on our door and witnessing, do not. And then it's an entire paragraph of why you would not dare to knock on the door and witness. But they get along. The neighbors get along. And so last week, the little boy, the neighbor, he's in fifth grade. He knocked on the door. And they opened the door and he said, I have been having suicidal thoughts. And I came up with a plan. And last week at school, I told one of my teachers. And so they drove me 2 hours away to a mental hospital. And I spent the last 4 nights there. And it was really scary. And I saw things there that were really hard. 4 days is a long time in a place like that. And I just got back, just pulled in my driveway, and my dad picked me up. And I just had to come over and see you guys and hug you. And can I tell you, while they get along and there's a familiarity and there's a relationship and a friendship, that family, as believers, has the Spirit of God with them. And the Spirit of God inhabits their home. And that boy had no idea. But the second he pulled in his driveway, the very first place he wanted to go was that home. And it's not because they were awesome or they were friendly or they had great Legos. He did not even understand what drew him there. It is the Spirit of God. And that is what I want my life to look and to feel like. To the people around me. And that is what your life can look and feel like to the people around you. We carry the Spirit of God wherever we go, whatever season you're in, wherever you go, whoever you're around. People have the opportunity to experience the presence of God just by being with you. May we live with a certainty of who God is. He is your source. He is your source of strength. He is your source of boldness. May we live with a certainty of who we are in Him, what He says about you. May being with Jesus transform you from the inside out. May you have an understanding and a revelation of who He says you are, not what anybody else says, what God says. And may we live with a certainty of what we are here to do. In every season, you have been given an assignment. And our greatest gift to the world around us is the Spirit of God that we carry with us wherever we go. in every season, in every situation, wherever we go, we have the Spirit of God. May you live with a boldness. May you walk out of here today with a heightened sense of boldness, with a deeper assurance and certainty that you can live with a boldness and a certainty because of this, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Awesome. Can you stand to your feet?
Yeah. Why don't you, I want to ask Robin to pray for us. Why don't you pray for us for that boldness for every one of us?
Sure.
Just lift your hand and say, Father, I ask you today, fill me with boldness, that I may fulfill, your assignment for my life. Go ahead and pray.
Thank you, Lord, for every person in this room. Yes. And I thank you, Lord, that you have put us on this earth for such a time as this. I thank you for your Spirit who goes with us. Holy Spirit, I pray that as we walk out of this building today, that you remind us this week of your word, that we turn to you, that we rely on you, that we fix our eyes on you. And we thank you, God, that as we pray to you, as we invite you into our lives, as we invite you into our seasons, as we invite you into our thoughts, God, that you give us a boldness to be a city on a hill in a dark world. Lord, when voices all around us are screaming all kinds of things, I thank you, Lord, for a deep assurance within us and a foundation of faith below us, Lord, a reminder of your truth, the truth of your word. And I thank you, Lord, for a generation who is going to be bold. I pray, Lord, that you bring revival. A revival in our cities, in our homes, in our workplaces, in restaurants, in gyms, everywhere we go, Lord. May your Spirit overtake. In Jesus' name, use us according to your will and purpose. Thank you, Lord, for a boldness. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just remain standing for a moment. I'm going to ask you just keep your heads bowed if you would. I want to pray right now. If you've never receive Jesus in your life, now today is the day for you to receive him, for you to meet him. If you're not sure where you stand with God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You know for sure that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord? Or would you have to say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I can't say that I know for certain. Let me tell you the good news is you can know that for certain. You can know that the Lord is with you. You can know that Jesus lives within you. You can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There is a heaven to gain. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for any person here this morning that says, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right and all is well between me and God. I want to know when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. If that's you and you want to be included in this prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. Right where you stand, I just want you to lift your hand up high. Just raise it up. Say, pray for me. If your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. For those who raise their hand, I want to ask you to say this prayer with me. In Romans chapter 10, in verse number 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Everybody say this. Say, thank you, Lord, that you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to come to this earth to die for me, take my sin. I believe, Jesus, that you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. I believe you are the Lord. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live for you. I belong to you. And you belong to me. And I thank you, Lord, that I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my Father. Heaven is my home. And my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Be seated for a moment. We're going to be going home right now. We've got a couple of things we want to mention to you. Just, you know, my daughter Robin sent me a text during the service. We didn't talk about this before. He said, "Dad, please do not receive an offering for me today. I don't want you to receive an offering for me today." And I know how she feels. But listen, I have to follow the Bible. I have to do what the Word of God says. And so I just want to read two scriptures. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "Those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them." And then the scripture says also in 1 Corinthians 9, in verse number 9, it says, "For the law of Moses says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain." Was God thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us, so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest. Since we have planted spiritual seed among you, aren't we entitled to a harvest of physical food and drink? The scripture teaches that when we receive spiritual food from a man or woman of God, that God says that we should sow back and bless them with material things. That's what the Word of God teaches. And so if you would like to be a blessing to Robin today, and you're thankful for the Word that she brought and for what God has done in her life, then I want to encourage you, you know, you're welcome to give. You can do it online. We have a category when you go online that says guest offering. And if you would like to be a blessing to her, I know she asked me not to do that, but Robin, since when did I listen to you? So now, also, what did I want to mention to you? Abel, come tell us what's happening with the youth conference.
Good morning, church. As I've been sharing over the last couple of weeks, we have a youth conference in July, so we're about a month away, July 19th through the 22nd. It's a Wednesday through a Saturday. So if you have any kids that don't know the Lord, or if they do know the Lord and they want to deepen their walk with Him, I'd encourage you to get them to sign up. Today's the last day for registration, so Michelle and I are going to be out in the lobby with our laptops. There's some forms we need to fill out. And then if you want your kids to come, there's going to be a $100 deposit, and that will lock in for the hotels. But the total conference cost is $250, so that includes transportation, hotel, breakfast and dinner, and that's pretty much it. So Michelle and I, again, will be out in the lobby, so come find us. And then the second thing I want to mention is we have Thursday prayer every week. We've gone weekly this year, and it's been amazing. This past Thursday, the presence of God has been so strong in that place, and the Holy Spirit is moving and beginning to bring words to people in revelation. So even if you're looking for a word, we're just hearing from God, and He's speaking through his children and His people. And at the end of the night, there was healings and miracles that have taken place, because we're cultivating and hosting the presence of God. And when the presence of God is, there's fullness of joy, and sickness and disease and pain and sorrow cannot live in that atmosphere. So I encourage you guys, if you haven't come check it out. Thursdays from 7, and yeah, it's going to be an amazing time. So, love you guys.
Thank you, Abel. Praise the Lord. Also, I want to mention that we've had a couple of people come forward and said that they want to help and sponsor some of the young people to go on the conference. So, if there are any young people that want to go, and maybe you can't afford the whole $250, we have some funds that we can help you. We don't want anyone to miss out. And I can tell you right now that my kids, I raised them all in church, but every one of them, I think their lives were impacted by going to conferences. I know Luke and Francesca, when they went to the VU conference, their lives have impacted them. And then who else? Courtney went to the Passion Conference, and it really impacted her life. This is so good to do. And also, just to let you know that VU conference starts this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday down at the Watsco Arena in Miami. It's going to be phenomenal. We were there last year. There were like 5,000 people, and it's just a wonderful time. Very exciting. My son Luke will be leading worship. Is that what you wanted me to say? On Thursday, Friday. And next Sunday, I want to let you know that I'm preaching. I'm starting a new collection of talks. I'm going to speak about who are you? Who are you? We live in a world today where so many people, there's so much confusion. There's an identity crisis. There's even a sexual identity crisis where people really are confused who they are. Let me tell you who you are. You are who God says you are. And you've got to know who God says you are. And so I'm going to share with you in this series, I'm going to share with you what God says, because when you find out what God says about who you are, and you believe that, and you begin to declare it, you become who God says that you are. So it's going to be really encouraging, uplifting, build your faith up. We'll start that next week. Stand up with me. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad that you were here today. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for giving us boldness. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you this week you're with us, Lord. We thank you provide for us, you protect us. We love you, Lord, as we go out of here. Thank you for giving us boldness to speak for you and to minister to people around us and to let our light shine in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite someone next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Praise. Give us some music.